Thank you, Ken, and indeed it's a joy to be with you this morning and to share together in this worship time. And that music was great this morning. Well, thank you, Ellen, and thank you, choir. That was I was watching some of them, and I thought they were almost going to take off, you know. They're just about ready to. And that's good. That's good. We need to be excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he's alive. He's alive indeed, and he is Lord. And this morning, I want to share with you just a few thoughts. And as I'm sure it'll not be something new, because I realize that many of you have gone through the Easter stories many, many times. Rather interesting this morning, as I was sitting reading and I read the four Gospels, the accounts of the resurrection, it almost caused me to change my thinking this morning about whether or not I would share what I had prepared or not, but I think we still will. But I noticed some things in there this morning about the resurrection that was rather unique. You take all the emotions of these people. You take the deep disappointments of the previous days and the hurt and the pain which they were experiencing, and how that they had struggled so deeply with this, because after all, I don't think that even Judas thought that Jesus would die. I really don't think he did. I think that's why he thought, I can do anything I want to, and they can't put him to death, you know. And not knowing the scene of it, and then we realized that his disappointment became so deep that he ended up ending his life. I think about many others, and I thought about Mary Magdalene this morning. And I thought, here's a woman who has been in bondage for so many years, all these demon powers at work within her, and Jesus had met her and set her free. She had been freed from the demon powers which were there, and now she stands before the tomb thinking, how could this have ever happened? How could the one who had all power and all authority, how could he be concealed into a tomb? Have you ever been in an emotion like that, where the thing you believed the most was sort of taken away from you and it was totally reversed, and how do you deal with it? Well, I wonder, Mary Magdalene was there alone, and we realized that I'm sure there's a lot of thoughts that are not written down. I'm sure there's a lot of emotions that Mary Magdalene had that I'm sure she struggled deep within herself. Sometimes, you know, we wonder why God allows us to go through those things, but we realize that God has a purpose in it. And then we realize the result of it as she comes to the tomb and discovers that the tomb is empty. You know? The tomb is empty. There's no more Jesus' body in the tomb. And the stone has been rolled away. And you notice, another thing that I noted in the four Gospels this morning as I read them was the fact that this stone was a real problem in their life. A real problem. And how are they going to get to Jesus? Because after all, this stone is between them and the Christ they come to embalm. Come to embalm. He's alive. Don't need to embalm. I really wanted, a little bit of sidetrack here, and my mind sometimes wanders, you know. And I wondered, what did they do with all that stuff after it, you know? Did they leave it there? Did they take it back? Did they sell it? Did they, you know? I wonder what happened to all that embalming material that they brought to the grave there that they had prepared for Jesus and discovered, he's alive. He's not dead, and he doesn't need to be embalmed. He is the source of life. Well, I don't think that was a problem to them. But as Mary Magdalene was there, and as she looked into the tomb, and you remember how that she couldn't figure all of this out, and finally the angels tell her, you know, that he is not here. And you remember how she turns around, and it's hard to believe something that you've seen happen, and it's hard to believe that it has totally turned around. She didn't expect to see Jesus alive. The last she saw him was dead on a cross and taken off of the cross and placed in a tomb. He's dead. They sealed the tomb shut because he's dead. But she turns around and somebody calls her by name. and she recognizes the voice of Jesus. Oh, that voice that charms the heart. Oh, that voice that thrills the soul. Oh, that voice that lifts us beyond what we have struggled with into new and eternal life. Those were just a few of the things that I thought about this morning. There's a number of others, but I thought about the fact that, you know, God can take our problems, the stone, the roll that a stone is in front of, God can take our problems and roll them back. And you notice there was an earthquake, and it said that the stone had been rolled away, however God chose. But anyhow, when they come, an angel's sitting on it. God sends an angel to sit on your problem. You know? He sends an angel, and the angel comes and sits on the stone, and here they are. They said, you know, as they were talking, coming, as the others are coming, how are we going to deal with this? There's this rock. Who's going to move it for us? We can't. And when they get near to it, it's already moved, and there the angel is sitting on top of the problem. Just remember that the next time you're struggling with something, look for the angel on your problem. You know, look for the angel sitting on it rather than allowing it to dominate your life. Well, let me share with you just a few. That's just sideline. Let me share with you a little bit about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I really feel that we need to renew and reassure ourselves of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this has been good this morning, the singing, everything, just to reaffirm Jesus Christ is alive. Not just at Easter. We need to keep this always before us. Because after all, the resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of our Christian faith. And it took me a while, but, and I am a little slow on something, but it took me a while, and I heard somebody saying, you know, if everything else had happened, but there had been no resurrection, it would have all been in vain. And yet I thought about all the raising the dead and opening the eyes of the blind and meeting people and that. But you know, that's true. That if the resurrection had not happened, the rest of the Christian faith really wouldn't have meaning. Because it's the resurrection of Christ that gives meaning to the whole Christian faith. And we don't believe in God simply because the signs of spring are coming. We believe in God because Jesus was raised from the dead, triumphant Lord over all. And the empty tomb is there, and we know that God is sovereign. We know that He is master and Lord of all. And sometimes in a world in which you don't know which direction it's going, and you're not sure about the direction the problems are taking in our society, we need to be reassured that God is still sovereign. God is still Lord over all. Because God was in Christ when they crucified Him and sealed Him in the tomb, and after that, evil men, inspired by the hatred of Satan, had done everything they could do. And I remember one day in a Bible study in one of our groups in the over in the apartments or units of the Tabor home, I was sharing something about this, and I remember saying to them, I said, God let Satan do everything he could do. Absolutely everything he could do. And then he turned around and raised Jesus from the dead. And one of the older gentlemen looked at me and he said, oh, hallelujah. He said, I've never thought of that before. He said, that is something. He said, Satan did everything he could. And God said, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do everything you can do. And when you're done and you think you've gained the victory, Jesus will stand alive before you after you've done everything you've done. And so, as we think about the Easter story, it reminds us of the fact that God is sovereign. He is indeed Lord and conqueror over all. Think of those moments following the followers of Jesus went through as they come and they begin to hear the news, the tomb is empty. Well, you know, we're inclined to look at bad things always, you know. Something is bad, you know. It only means that it's worse. You know, but it could mean one of two things. It could mean either things are worse, or it could be the good news, and that's what it was. It was the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead triumphantly. First of all, I want to share just a few thoughts about some of the things that the resurrection has attained for us. The glory and the meaning of the resurrection. And I sort of highlight that word glory. The glory and the meaning of the resurrection. John chapter 1, 14, and I'm not going to read these verses, but I'm just going to refer to them. You remember how that in the story at Christmas time, so often we talk about the fact that God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, the majesty, the magnificence of God. And then if you went back into the book of Isaiah, he talks about this in chapter 40 in a couple of verses there. And then he refers back again in Luke and he talks about that sense of the splendor of God. I long for a sense of God's splendor. I long for a sense of God to be revealed in our time in which we live. You know, we need to see the hand of God again. We need to be stirred by the presence of God and that the glory of God, that majesty of God, that we can't even find words, but it needs to be revealed among us again till our hearts are burning with a sense that Jesus Christ is alive, God is sovereign, we're His children, and we've got a hope because of it. And you know, the whole world's going to take notice. They're going to come around and say, "What's the difference in your life? Are we too much like the world? Are we dealing with things too much like the intelligence of the world would and so on? Do we not again need to see the glory of God? That sense in which there is that splendor, that power, that presence, that dynamic of God that warms our hearts and stirs our souls and causes us to bow in adoration and worship before the Almighty God." We realize that the glory and the meaning of the resurrection means the fear of death would be gone. Remember when Jesus, just a while ago in John chapter 11, this was a while before his crucifixion, you remember he was called by Mary and Martha to the home of theirs where their brother had died. You remember how he put these words? He said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And people argue and say, "That's a contradiction. That's an absolute contradiction." No, it isn't. No, it isn't. In him we have life that death cannot conquer. We have life. It'll touch the body, but it cannot touch the soul and touch the spirit. Death was no longer the conqueror. They could kill the body, but they couldn't defeat the follower of Jesus Christ. And that's why so many places in the world, even this morning, that believers are standing strong and they're not, they're as so often we're reminded, they're not asking us to pray that things would be easier. Pray that God will give us courage to stand, that if we have to die, we'll die because they can't kill us anyhow. We're going to live because Jesus lives. And you know, we need to somehow in our land need to have that kind of courage and conviction. Also, we realize that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the enemy Satan would no longer be victorious. Oh, he'll stir and he'll do all kinds of things, but Christ by his death and resurrection has crushed his power, that those who believe in him and in his atoning work have forgiveness and life. And you know, as I work with people who are, and I got to be careful how I say this, up in years or age or older, you know, because we're all getting there very fast. I find so many people struggling with the fact of, did the death of Christ really pay for my sin? Can I really be assured that I'm a child of God? Yes, that's what it's all about. Through Christ we are made free, we have been redeemed. And I noticed this morning in the songs, hallelujah was used so many times. And I thought, hallelujah, we can be redeemed and we can have hope because Jesus Christ is alive. And you can have assurance of forgiveness. You can have reconciliation with him and we are made to be free. And when the Spirit of God, through the atonement of Christ sets us free, we are free indeed. Someone said, it changes from darkness to morning, and it changes from the sunset to sunrise, and from tears of sorrow to tears of joy, because He is risen, and it is for us, in which we enjoy and share that. I want to share with you also just a couple of the thoughts about the fact that His resurrection is our assurance of redemption. Over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, he says, knowing that you were not redeemed, you were not bought back with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The other day I was reading in a devotional article and they were talking about Jesus and His sacrifice, and the thing that really came through was the fact that Jesus wasn't forced to do it. He did it out of love. He could have taken another way, but He didn't. He did it because He loves us. Lord, why do You love us so much? Why would You give Yourself in such agony and pain? But He said, because I love You. Because I love You, I want to redeem you, and I want you to know that you're redeemed. There's that assurance that God is with us. God is for us. And again, referring back to Matthew chapter 1, we realize that as we read in there the Christmas story about the fact that they shall call Him Emmanuel, God with us. God has come. He is with us. The resurrection is for our deliverance, that we might be raised to newness of life. As you notice in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's real. It's been paid. It's been taken care of. And he says, we are able to be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Because of the resurrection, we have an unfailing resource. You know, and I know what it is to get discouraged too. And I know that some of you, of some time or another, you've gone through some deep discouragements of life. You've gone through some things in which you almost felt like throwing the towel in. But because of the resurrection of Christ, my friend, you're not alone. Jesus will never let you go through anything by yourself, because He's going to be with you and He will be Lord in it. Whatever you face, whatever you are facing, whatever you might be struggling with, I want to remind you this morning, you're not alone if you're a believer. You're not alone if you've been redeemed. God is with you, and the Spirit of God is able to minister to you and give you grace and strength in it. I know we face things and we say, I don't know how I'll ever deal with it. I don't know how I'll ever get through it. But you know, God has ways, just as He did with the resurrection of Jesus. He has ways of dealing with things and doing things in ways we never thought possible. So I want to encourage you this morning that you're not alone. God did this all for us, and the resources of heaven are back of you. We need to tap into them. We need to just simply reach into them and realize that He'd spared nothing because of His unfailing resource. I want to give you a verse, and you know this verse very well. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It says this, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Whoa, stop and think about it. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He says, when that Spirit lives in you, He who raised Him from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Did you connect it? The very Spirit that raised Jesus from the tomb is the Spirit that lives within us. Did you think about that? The very spirit that broke the power of death, that broke the power of the tomb, and broke the power of fear and all the things. He says, that's the spirit that lives within you. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. You're not doing it on your own strength. It's the presence and the spirit of God. Someone reminded us, and I remember an old pastor one time, he talked about that verse and he said, think about it. He said, resurrection power. He said, that's the spirit that's living in you. Resurrection power. Dominion power. And then he said, there's ascension power. Everything that happened to Jesus, he ascended to heaven. And he says, that's the spirit. It's dwelling in those in whom the spirit of God lives. Come, spirit of God, fill us with that presence which raised Jesus from the tomb and gave him life. The spirit that broke the power of death and the tomb now lives in those who believe and follow Jesus Christ. The other thing I want to share this morning very quickly is the fact that because of the resurrection of Christ, he's going to come again. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 and 31, he says, Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. His coming and the promise of his coming and the glory of his coming. He said, I assured you and I verified that and I guaranteed it by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he says, because he's been raised from the dead. So, his coming, his return is a sure hope to rest upon two events. One, the resurrection. The other, the reality of his coming. Because he said, because I live, you will live also. And then he says, John writes, and he says, we shall behold him. Have you ever let your mind wander and said, what is it going to be like when the trumpet of God sounds, and what is it when we shall behold him? We shall behold him who was raised from the dead, triumphant, Lord over all. We shall behold him, and we shall be like him. Because of the resurrection. We'll see him and we will be like him. No more arthritis, no more cancer, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more sorrowing, no more death. All these things will be gone. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have an eternal hope and we have an eternal home that stands firm. You know, sometimes people get afraid of life. They're so afraid of dying that they never live. And that can happen. That can, and it does happen very frequently. They're so afraid of dying that they never live. But we don't need to be afraid of it, because in Christ we have hope and we have eternal presence with him forever. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, thank God for the empty tomb, because it spells defeat to wrong and evil. It proclaims victory for right and for all who take the way of the cross and who unfailingly commit themselves to the Saviorhood and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord and Savior. Three things. The angel, and you've heard this before, the angel proclaimed it. You remember when they came to the tomb? He's not here. He's not here. He's risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. The voice of the angel declared it. The empty tomb displayed it. Showed the picture of it. They said, come on in. Look inside of here. He's not here. He is risen. He is not in the tomb. And then his appearance confirmed it. That was it. It simply made it the fact that it was real. So you've got the proclamation, you've got the display of it, and you've got the confirmation. Jesus Christ is alive. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is really alive and that He is able to take care of us, and He will as we give ourselves to Him and to His Lordship? Well, let's pray, shall we? Lord and eternal God, we come to you this morning in the name of the risen Savior. Oh, what a mighty God, what a wonderful Savior, what a blessed Redeemer. And Lord, I pray this morning that the message of God's eternal love and the resurrection of Christ and the power of His resurrection will be lived out and celebrated in each of our lives, that you will be glorified and honored and exalted, Lord and Master over all. Oh, Father, this morning, thank you. Thank you that we can gather together and we can declare it and proclaim it, that Jesus Christ is alive. Oh, send us forth from here today, just like you told those disciples back there when they came to the tomb and they looked in and you said, go tell. Oh, Master, may our hearts burn with the message, with the glorious message of the resurrection of Christ. And may we share it under the power of your Spirit to the glory of God. In Christ's name we pray and give you thanks. Amen.